You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about an industry that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. I'm Bill Thorne, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Chris Stewart. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Bill.
How are you?
I'm marvelous. How are you?
I'm doing great. Are you enjoying the show, shop.org, here in beautiful Los Angeles, California?
I am.
Learning a lot, I hope.
Indeed.
Well, we have a great program today. We have Tracy Inglis, who's the General Manager and CMO, Chief Marketing Officer of Just Fab and Shoe Dazzle. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Tracy, tell us a little bit about Just Fab and Shoe Dazzle. What do you offer consumers? How long have you been around? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we've been around for about 8 years between the two brands, and we are the world's largest global e-commerce subscription e-commerce site. So we offer shoes and apparel to 4.5 million consumers worldwide on a subscription basis.
It's pretty amazing. So when did it launch?
We launched in 2000. Let me see. Can I do the math? That would be 2009.
And you've grown from to 4 million subscriptions?
4.5 million.
That is pretty amazing. Yeah. I've got to ask this question at the top. How many pairs of shoes do you own?
Oh, personally? Gosh, you know, that's kind of embarrassing. I can't lie. It's probably about 200.
All right, Chris, the pressure's on. How many do you own?
11.
Talk to me. I'll give you some discounts.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. So what got you into this industry? How long have you been basically getting into that trajectory?
Yeah, well, I grew up loving fashion, and so I've always been interested in fashion and working in the retail space. But I was also a mathlete in high school, so I'm a data nerd at my core, and I really followed this trajectory of using technology, using data to make the shopping experience a little more fun, a little more relevant to each of the individual consumers. So it was a natural fit for me.
Well, that's fantastic. It's great when you can find a job that's a natural fit. Mm-hmm. But you said you were a DJ in college?
I was. That's right.
What kind of station did you work for?
The student radio station at Ohio State University.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Chris?
We had a talk show.
Did you really?
We did.
What did you talk about?
We talked about relevant topics for the campus at the time.
Oh, that's fun.
And I was actually the producer for that
show.
And my best friend was the talent.
That is, well, you know, if you didn't have to, if you ended up not in radio, I think in fashion is probably the next best thing.
So you've been with textile for quite a long time. I know that you were promoted from within. What's it been like leading your team through this rapid growth?
Yeah, so I've been here just under 4 years, and it's changed pretty substantially from when I first started to what it is today. We were a much smaller team when I originally joined the company, and we continue to be very scrappy in startup mode and entrepreneurial, but we've grown really big, right? So leading through that change has been interesting and challenging and fun. The volume of projects that we produce at Textile is unparalleled to any other retailer I've ever worked for before. We just pump out project after project, testing and tweaking and modifying and always improving on the customer experience for the shopper. So it's pretty nonstop. Which is what I love about it. You know, I wake up and look at about 50 different reports that come into my feed, and we can make adjustments in real time that day that we see the results of the following day, which is pretty cool.
That is way cool. How, if you were to look at a typical day, what does that look like for you?
Well, let's see. My toddler kicks me in the head about 5 a.m. Wake up, have breakfast.
Better your toddler than your significant other.
True. It depends on the day. And so then as I'm having breakfast, I usually look through the reports and see, you know, how things performed yesterday. And then catch up with my team, with my direct reports as soon as I get into the office, try to get a pulse on what are the top priorities for the week, for the day. And, you know, take it from there. I spend a lot of my day in meetings, And also checking in on the team health and making sure that everyone feels like they know the macro goals. I mean, my leadership mantra, I like to quote Steve Jobs, is, you know, we don't hire smart people to tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do. You know, so I really try to live that and breathe that and set parameters and boundaries for my team so they understand what we're trying to accomplish and some guidelines on how to get there. But then I allow them to come back and tell me how we should best approach each of these things.
That's great.
So with 4.5 million subscribers, how do you maintain that startup energy when you've got such a huge scope of operations?
Yeah, well, luckily in e-commerce, whether you have, you know, 100 customers or 4.5 million, you really do a lot of the same things, right? So we have the same amount of products that we upload. We design, you know, 1 to 5 emails on a given day that we send out to our consumers. And then we can then personalize each of those things dynamically. So we try to replicate the consumer experience. I like to think about shopping in the 1950s and 60s a lot, when it was a really personalized shopping experience with one shopkeeper who would walk into a store and know, hey, Tracy Inglis, good to see you again. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, and you normally come every single day, right? I know those same things by looking at the data of my 4.5 million customers. I can say each individual, how often they shop, what are their style preferences, what is their price resistance, and then personalize that experience both on site and in email. So even though it's 4.5 million customers, I like to try to treat them as though they're an individual shopping into a little boutique that I own in a small town.
You know, I'm intrigued by the fact that it's two shoe companies, basically, or two shoe brands under Textile. Is there not some, do you have two very separate and distinct consumers that buy from one versus the other? I mean, what does that look like? Who is that consumer?
Yeah, we do have some overlap between our four brands. We also do have the athletic wear division. Kate Hudson co-founded Fabletics. Right. And we do see a little bit of overlap between the brands. It's not nearly as high as you would think, right? I believe it's less than 8% between the two fast fashion brands. And we do have very different differentiation of the way that we brand them. So the Shoe Dazzle girl is completely different. She dresses from the shoes up. She's obsessed with her shoes. The Shoe Dazzle shopper loves shoes as well, but it's more of a global fashion brand with including apparel, accessories, and the full head to toe look. So it's really about styling her from head to toe and helping her to figure out how to try the latest trends. So the Just Fab shopper is the person who walks into the store and buys the whole look on the mannequin. I'll take that, right? That's how I see how to wear it. I'll take that. The Shoe Dazzle one is the one that's a style blogger in herself, and she would never buy something straight off the mannequin. She wants to start with her shoes and put together the look herself.
That's pretty fantastic, because I know it. Look, okay, I'm a guy. I'm an older guy, and it is always amazing to me how people, certainly women, and especially women that are in are fashionable, focus on shoes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will say those shoes look really beautiful. I would look at the shoes and I'd be like, well, those are nice shoes. But I mean, it is such an integral part to your wardrobe, and I've just. You know, as somebody that has been exposed to this more broadly through my work with the National Retail Federation and our members, it is very surprising to me how much emphasis there is, starting with the shoes. Mm-hmm. And it's intriguing that somebody would basically create a wardrobe starting with the shoes and then working their way up. I have black loafers. I have black tie-up shoes. I have some running shoes. I have some flip-flops, which mm-hmm. I truly enjoy. And I don't know that I've ever worked from the shoes up, because if I did, that would be a problem.
Yeah, shoes can completely change your outfit. And I like to say that compliments are the currency of fashion. So women love complimenting each other on their shoes. You'd be surprised how many bathroom conversations happen around, like, cute shoes, where are those from? I love them, right? It happens a lot.
I wouldn't be privy to those. Somebody might tell me about them, but I've never known anything.
That's
about
probably
that.
A good thing.
It is a good thing. You know, one quick question, and I'm sorry, Chris, I don't mean to dominate this, but
right,
I'm very, very intrigued. Trying on shoes, I go into my favorite shoe store, and I might try on 3 or 4 different pair of shoes, and it's primarily more the feel, because the look is very similar, but how they feel on my foot when I take that initial walk. And this is like a little stiff, or it's kind of tight on the sides. So to order online for me, that would, I think, create a problem for me. How do you overcome that, where somebody would just go and say, "Wow, I love the look of that shoe. It's my size. I'm going to order it." And that just seems very interesting to me.
Yeah, a couple of things. We are completely vertically integrated. So we design and produce all of our shoes. That way, that gives us consistency in sizing. So you know if you're a size 7.5 wide, you will always fit in that 7.5 wide. You know exactly which size to buy from us. And then the other thing is we have user reviews and user generated photos that are on our site as a part of it. Every single user is invited to make a review. And one of the questions we ask is, did it fit you true to size? Did it run a little bit big? Did it run a lot big? Did it run a little bit small? Did it run a lot small? And so you can see the reviews for each and every item. So you can decide whether, you know, a lot of women are in between a 7.5 and an 8 or whatever, and they want to decide if they want to go with the 8 or go with the 7.5. They can read those reviews. We get thousands and thousands of reviews every day.
That's fantastic. I mean, because the reviews make a big difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether you're purchasing a product or whether you're traveling abroad, you're always going to read those reviews, and you really trust those people. And so, that's great.
How does that affect the amount of returns that you will get from your subscribers? Does that personalization help reduce that amount?
Yeah, our return rates are actually very low compared to industry standards. So it's hopefully because of those reviews,
right.
And also hopefully because people are loving the product. We do personalize that website experience. So we're putting the products in front of her that she's more likely to be interested in, but also giving her the option to go explore and browse and be inspired.
How much of the product is driven by user feedback?
Oh, yeah. So we actually... When we launched apparel, we started on Just Fab as a shoe footwear brand only. And when we launched apparel, we did focus groups with our consumer base. And I think we're pretty unique compared to most retailers in that we started with both plus size and regular size consumers. We didn't have to pick a lane as a brand. Are we going to be a plus size brand? Are we going to be in a reg size brand? Mm-hmm. Because we already had customers that were both sizes.
Right.
So we took a stance and said, you know what? I know the industry is not set up for this, but we're going to create all of our products in all of the sizes. If you look at the average size of the American woman, it's a size 14 or 16, right? Which basically means half of the women wear what we call regular size and half of them wear plus size, right? Half of the market is completely underserved. And when we did some focus groups talking to our customers, one of the customers said, you know what, I see emails saying that knife pleat skirts are a trend. You go try to find one in plus size. Someone somewhere decided that plus size gals don't want to wear knife pleat skirts. And she's like, I want a knife pleat skirt. So we decided then and there when we launched apparel, we would launch it across the full size range for each of our products. So we're constantly listening to our customers, using feedback. If you think about traditional stores, and I came from limited brands and have a background with traditional stores, we would be in the stores on the floor talking to customers all the time, at least once a month in there talking to them. As a largely e-commerce-based business, we don't really have that opportunity. So we started something called the Meet the VIP program, where we bring in our customers and have dinner with them and have a conversation and say, what do you love? What do you not like? What can we change? What can we bring in that we don't have? And simply just by asking those questions, we've been able to change so many things on our site and on our customer experience, and we've seen that move the dial for revenue. So it's been great.
And I would imagine that really ups that member loyalty factor, because they recognize I'm being listened to. You all are really taking my feelings into account when you're designing new products.
Yeah, absolutely. Our members are super loyal. We have 25 plus visits a year to our sites, which, you know, any retailer would be super envious to try to get their customers into their stores twice a month on average.
So you know, obviously have really made your mark in retail. I mean, it's fantastic what you've done, where you were, where you are, and where you're going, especially with these brands and what you've done in the past. Advice for any other young woman that's in college right now who says, I want to do that. How do I do that?
Yeah, so I mapped out everything I wanted to do. And I said, you know, in my career, looking at the CEOs and the CMOs in retail, they have some merchant experience. They have some real estate experience. They have some, you know, then digital marketing experience was just emerging. So I really set out a goal for myself to get experience in each of those contexts in each of those disciplines and be able to continually build on top of my career. I highly advise people to map that out. And then from a interpersonal side, the advice I often give to people on my team is to assume positive intent. So I think a lot of times we go through our lives assuming negative intent and reading an email one way and getting upset about it when you absolutely shouldn't, right? And so, it just makes you a much better coworker, colleague, boss, employee if you can go through assuming positive intent.
That's fantastic. We're actually drawing close on time. I found this very, very fascinating, and I think that there'll be members of my family that are shocked that I actually learned something about shoes and fashion. But I know how important it is. So before we go to the next segment of the program, tell us if they wanted to learn more about the product, more about the company, and more about the shoes, where would they go?
Yeah, so to learn more about Textile as a company, go to Textile Fashion Group. And to learn more about Just Fab, justfab.com, ShoeDazzle, ShoeDazzle.com. Check it out.
That's great. So, don't know if you know this, but we have a segment of the program called Rapid Fire.
Okay.
And we're going to ask you some questions, and what we want you to do is just answer with the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready. Chris, you want to start us off?
What's an article of clothing that you would never travel without?
Oh.
Shoes. No, I'm
kidding. Definitely. A scarf to stay warm on the flight.
Fiction or nonfiction, if you had to read it?
Oh, fiction.
Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Definitely.
not one of my favorites. Anyway, so if you were to identify the last magazine that you picked up in the store, what magazine would that be?
InStyle.
What's the website you visit most religiously aside your own?
Okay, that's not fair. I don't know. That's tough. I'm going to have to cop out and say justfab.com.
That's good. I'm sure the CEO will appreciate that. Well, thank you so much
Thanks, guys, for your time.
We really, really do appreciate learning about your business and about your success. And we are very grateful for our listeners as well, tuning in again and listening to this episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Subscribe to the show and give us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. Chris, great job.
Thanks so
Enjoyed
much,
Enjoyed it very much. Tracy, thanks again.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.